Yeah, them RDLs, boy. His ass was shaking,
bro,
my nigga.
I was hurting. You hear me? I was hurting, bro. Because, like, you feel it in your legs, of course, but then, like, still, like, I get up and, like, my back is just like, just like, bro, what?
Like, what? By being your back end, dog. Relax.
See, you flipped it. That's not what I was going for. I was going for something completely different. I was just trying to indicate that my back hurt.
You went like that. You said someone knocked your shit. It's different. <That's> different, dog. Some different shit. That's all I'm saying, bro.
So another episode of the Assess Shows podcast. As always, my name is Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Balor, a.k.a. Baby Giannis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Own French Face. I swear to God, if we don't get a new nickname, I will hold this entire podcast out. Like, next episode, that's all we're doing. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, we'll start drafting soon, bro.
I'm here with my good pals, as always. First, Jesse Pink.
Fuck your life. Bing bong.
AKA Dolomite P, AKA Baby Samoa Joe, AKA Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw on you hoes. And Derek Small.
See them dogs out front? Just know I'm going hard upstairs. Bing bong.
Yo, what? What the?
I had to keep the theme going.
Joe Byron, take me up. What's up, baby? Take me up to.
Hey, yo!
AKA B Smalls, AKA Anthony Mackie Jr., AKA Meat Man. Shout out to Dre for the intro music. Shout out to D Wills for everything behind the scenes. Shout out to Peyton for being Peyton. Jesse, tell the people how many stars to give us.
Five. Divided by five. Nigga, it's five stars.
Share, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Important announcement. Derek has gotten in the gym. He is trying to become a Swole Brethren. Give it up for Derek. Give it up for Derek. See, we'll put some facts underneath this. Give it up for Derek. Yeah, Derek, let's talk about it.
Yeah, man. So recently, a friend of mine, you know, obviously, if you couldn't guess that, I don't know what you're doing. Josh put together, you know, a workout plan where essentially I have a set of upper and lower body workouts that are listed as A, and then I have the same, but they're listed as B. So they're two sets of workouts for both upper and lower for about, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, maybe six. I forget what
you're doing. You're doing this one for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you're doing the other one for
the other one. So for about
3 months in total.
For about a month and a couple of weeks, I'll be doing A, and then I'll switch to B. And you know, in the midst of all this, hopefully your boy gets a little toned. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm excited. Well, let me not say that. I'm lying if I said that. I'm not excited, but I'm trying to commit to this for real this time.
You ain't got
to
be excited at the beginning. Once you get into it, you'll be.
Yeah, but I've done both the upper and lower. You know, within the past 2 days, Friday and at the time of this recording, you know, Saturday. So yeah, they've been okay. You know, legs are definitely always going to be the trip to hell, you know, for sure. But it wasn't that bad though.
I saw what you did there. Yeah, use your legs to take a trip.
Yeah. You get it. But yeah, essentially it's going pretty good. And I think, you know, now that I got the structure down, you know, the proper movement for each workout, you know, we're just going to get it in and, you know, hopefully by, I guess what, June 2022, we'll see what it's looking like, man.
Yeah. So before I have Jesse weigh in on this, so the goal right now, so for the next 3 months, we got to get Derek big because he's, you know, he's in a weird middle stage right now, to be honest. I think you would say that too, but we got to get you big and then we're going to slim you back down. So yeah, the goal is to do, we're doing the same workouts on either side. So March, whenever, you know, 6 weeks is or 3 months is from now, then it'll flip and you'll go into the cut phase. But we're still doing the same, you know, A and B style. But yeah, just trying to keep it simple, trying to like not get too technical, not too fancy, anything like that. Jesse, you got anything to add before I, you know, keep going?
No, I was going to say, man, you know, that makes me think about my fitness journey. Okay, let's just call for what it is. It's been about 2 years since we've been trying to get Derek back in the gym. It's more formally when we started Planet Quarantine. It's been, we've had our ups, we've had our downs, we had our middle, we got some middle days, not too up, not too down, just saying. But it made me think about my fitness journey, because I ironically started, I think, the year, a couple months before we got into quarantine. But I know I started in May of 2019. Yeah, May, no, June of 2019, when I went off to MSU for the summer. Like, that's when I started. And the only reason why I had started was because, you know, Chicago food doesn't compare to any other food outside of, you know, I think New York, LA,
Atlanta.
New Orleans, Houston, Atlanta, like the major cities, you know, yeah. They compare. But it's like those major cities that you hear, but it's like, you know, outside of that, when you go into, you know, a place, a rural area or a city, a small city in Michigan, it's just like, nah. So like I had nothing but like fruits and salads and all that. And then I came back home, I was like, holy shit, I'm small. Let's keep that going. So like it just made me think about that, because prior to that, I had struggled a lot with like trying to be consistent. So that was pretty dope. It's pretty dope, man.
Yeah, So I officially started in November of 19, and I had like, so when my freshman year, I had, you know, my workout partner was Peyton. And so the second semester, we were going 6 days a week. We stupidly spent an entire day on abs. If I was going back, I really would not have done that. And I would have been like, let's just tack this on at the end of the day instead of like having two whole days out of the week on this. But I like put on like 10 pounds-ish, like 10, 15. I was feeling better about myself. And then I moved off campus and it was just harder to like be consistent and all that sort of stuff. And so it wasn't like, I was never at a uncomfortable part or place with my body. I was always, you know, as Jesse and I like to go, I was just a young skinny dude. I was just a young skinny dude. I was just, you know, And it was what it was. And I always wanted to, you know, put weight on and all that kind of stuff. And so when I moved out to DC, I started looking into gyms and all that kind of stuff, because I had money, like, you know, I can actually afford to for a membership and all that kind of stuff. I ended up going to Gold's and I ended up hearing them out about their personal training that they did with Compel Fitness. And I was like, okay, like I'm going to do this. I'm going to have someone that's more knowledgeable than me, you know, get me into this, all that kind of stuff. And also I was going on after work, I would go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, because Wednesday I went to go get my hair cut. Friday, I was just like, no, I'm going to come home and like not do anything. And I don't go on a Saturday. Saturdays, I would go to the gym. I would then go grocery shopping right afterwards, come home, bring all that kind of stuff home, so that Sunday I could like sort of relax, but then also like meal prep for the week. And so I have my meals for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at work. And then Tuesday, Thursday was like a sandwich, or if I wanted to go run and get anything, that sort of thing. And for me, you know, Jesse talked about being consistent, you know, it was the consistency. It was like, there were so many days where I would be coming home from work and I would get home at like 5:30-ish, because I would leave work at about 4:30, sit through DC traffic. And I knew I had to be at the gym by like 6, because like when my class was starting, the gym was 15 minutes. Way. And I was like, damn, I really don't feel like doing this shit. I really don't. But it was just one of those things that's like, if you're not going to do it now, then like, when are you going to do it? You know, you got time now, you got money now, like you got all these different things. And so it's like, literally you have to get into the space of like, all right, fuck it. It's an hour. It's an hour 15. It's an hour. I'm going to do this. I'm tired anyways. I might as well go ahead and do that. right? That's the one thing I will also say when we were doing Planet Quarantine is like, if you can, like, it's going to hurt either way, whether you complain about it or not, right? Like, if you sit up there, you know, we're doing five sets or something on four set, you're telling me how much it hurts. Yeah, I know it fucking hurts. I know it does, because I'm hurt too, right? Like, but like, you either do it or you don't. And if you don't, that's fine. Like, there is credence to being like, I am, my tank is empty. I can't. But if you're on, like, if we're talking about a gas thing, if you're on 40%, you still got another 20, 25 to go before you can be like, all right, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? So that was just a very long-winded way of saying, like, yeah, I think we've all been there. And so I think that's why we're also like trying to be so encouraging to you, Derek, because it's like, dude, like, I know, like, our journeys are a little bit different, but that shit does suck in the beginning. Can't lie to you. Cannot lie to you. Yeah. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, this man did very well today. He had very good squat depth for someone that doesn't really squat. He got all that kind of stuff done. We got up to 95 pounds on the bar, yep. Which, like, again, for not squatting, getting up to 25-pound plates on your first day, at the end of your set,
I was skeptical.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
I was skeptical because he started adding weight. I was like, whoa.
right.
But then you realize, like, he was like, hey, if you can do this, you know, if we have to revert back, you know, we can, but let's just see. Right. Next thing right. I know, he's talking about push out six. I'm over here like, one.
Right.
Dude, just cranking them out. And I'm like, oh shit, I just lifted like 95.
Yeah,
pounds.
See?
I
was like, see, your legs yeah. are the strongest muscles on your body, right? Because they have to hold you up throughout the entirety of the day. So you can do more. Like, put it to you like this, at the end of this 6 weeks, when you stop squatting and all that kind of stuff, I would not be surprised if you're doing a plate plus. If you're able to do like a plate and a 10 or a plate and 15, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, 150. I would not be surprised whatsoever, because it's just it right now. It's just getting you into that mode, getting you thinking about that, right? But once you start doing that, you're good, bro. You're good. But yeah, he had great squat depth. He, you know, completed everything. You know, had a good pace with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't in there for terribly too long. It wasn't like you needed a whole bunch of time in. So again, I saw this to you when we were leaving out, but like, you did very well. It's not like I gave you like a whole bunch of machines and a whole bunch of like cupcake stuff, right? Like, you know, we weren't babysitting you and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, I'm not putting too much on your plate, but we also didn't start off like, okay, Derek, all right, so now we're going to put 5 pounds in each hand and then we're going to, nah, bro, like, motherfucker, get on that squat, get to the squat rack, let's go. Like, that sort of thing. So say all that to say, after your first 2 days, how are you feeling about, you know, the program you have in front of you and all that kind of stuff?
I definitely think that the workouts themselves are doable for someone like me, even though I haven't really like tapped into this space in 2 years. Like, I definitely think it's manageable. Me and you talked about this earlier, but of course, like, still figuring out like the timing of like whether I'm going to go in the morning, whether I'm going to be like Jesse and go at like 8 p.m. at night, you know, but like definitely just trying to figure out like, you know, that is going to be, you know, something I still work on between like now and Monday. But what we're doing is not too difficult, I would say, in terms of like what I have to do. The main thing that I had talked to you about was just like the motions of it all. Cause I would even find myself like during Planet Quarantine, I'd be like, okay, you say it's supposed to be working this muscle, right? And I think I would know what that feels like, but I'm not getting there. You know what I mean? So it's like, how does this, you know, how do I fix this? And then that's why, you know, I was appreciative, you know, that you could come out, you know, and help me out these past 2 days. So like, now that I got the routine down and the motions, right, it's just about cranking them out at this point, and staying consistent, like even with my work schedule and all of that. Cause that's also what would happen in the past, is that I would feel mentally, or like, you know, I would feel mentally that there's a lot of things going on with like my job and other responsibilities. And I'd be like, oh, like, I don't have time. But, you know, I have a set work day, right, pretty much every day outside of like student appointments and things like that. So really, like, once you get this down as a person, and once you have like your schedule and, you know, your to-dos and all that, eating, right, we talked about that, because I'm bulking, so I have to eat a certain amount more now than I would. But it's not going to be, I don't think, hard. It's just about like, am I, you know, I'm not going to say am I will, because we're manifesting, I will be committed, you know, this time to the eating, to the working out, and then knowing that it's not going to be immediate, but the results will eventually get there if I stay with the program. So.
Yeah, dog, if you do this the way you're supposed to for 6 months, you're going to look back and be like, damn, my body changed so much. The eating part, I'm not going to say eating isn't difficult when you're bulking, but it's just getting yourself on a like sustained like timing schedule. Like that was the biggest thing. That was one of the hardest things for me is like, all right, I had breakfast and I had a shake and it's 1 o'clock and I got to eat lunch again. Like, I don't feel like doing this. And then once you get into it, legitimately, if I eat less than 3 times a day, either like I'm super tired, I've had 2 huge meals, or like something is going, like I have a headache or something like that, and I need to sleep. Otherwise, like I'm eating at least 3 times a day, every single day, point blank period, something. Yeah. And it's you know, you'll get adjusted to it. You'll figure out, like I said, like we talked about, you'll figure out what's going to be good for you and your shape. Cause like I said, I do protein plus peanut butter, banana, you know, spinach, all that kind of stuff. You might be, since you got a vanilla protein, you might, okay, I'm going to do, you know, 2 scoops of Greek yogurt and a banana and, you know, that sort of thing. Figure out, you know, you'll figure all that kind of stuff out, what works best for you along the way and what you need and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of your fitness journey, because it's not a weight loss journey or it's not really a muscle journey, it's a fitness journey. You're trying to overall improve your health. It's all mental. Most people stop way before they should. And that's just not even in fitness, that's just in anything, because you just get a little bit of adversity and then you start to just back out of it a little bit. So, you know, sometimes people do stop early instead of just taking that gambit and pushing themselves just a tad bit further. So, you know, you got to be very strategic sometimes in your risk. But a lot of things, risk. I do think, though, that in your fitness journey, and this is just for me, I just think it's a lot of mental toughness. There's a lot of consistency that goes with that. When I first started my fitness journey, I did not go into the traditional gym. Yeah, as you all know, I did not. I pushed for more HIIT workouts and more calisthenic workouts. I did more of that at home. And I actively bought, you know, weight bands and weights and all that because of 2 reasons. One, because, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, it's only $10, you know, to go to a gym. It was only $20 to go to the gym. I might as well go to the gym, you know. But on the flip side, you're also quick to say, it's only $10 or $20. It's not really that much. I'll go next time. And then you fall into that. The other thing, too, is that I did not want to separate. It's a physical separation from home to gym sometimes. I think that sometimes can create that cognitive dissonance that really inhibits you from saying that you're having a lifestyle change and a fitness change. You know, a lot of people say, you know, they don't take their work from home. And they don't just mean that from working. They also mean that physically, right? You can't take your job from home, right? Unless you're a graduate student, then it's just like you can't escape anywhere you go. But the same thing should be happening, though, when you're talking about your fitness. So for me, just because I'm not at a gym, that doesn't mean I shouldn't eat clean. Just because I'm not at a gym, that doesn't mean I shouldn't do any type of exercise. So that's when I started to buy a lot of this workout equipment, because that was the move to not only dismantle that dissonance from saying my fitness is at the gym and at home, to say that my fitness is everywhere, anywhere I go. But it's also mentally saying that I'm investing in my health. That's another reason why I did that. I know at first, and quarantine helped into that, because everyone virtually had to stay home and buy equipment and all that, right? But it also made it easier for me to do that, because it's like, even if I was tempted to go to the gym by seeing my friends and stuff go to the gym, I couldn't because no one else was going. So I bought my weights you know, and it was actively on me to look up workout materials, to look up more of my body weight composition, to learn more about my health, to learn what fruits and vegetables help for me, to learn all of that, to learn how much water I should start taking, you know, and all. And so now, you know, when I get on a scale, I don't look at weight, you know, because weight is looking at weight is about as outdated as looking at BMI, right? You can't just look at just your weight. What's your body fat percentage? What's your water weight? What's your muscle mass? A lot of folks will say, oh, I gain a lot of weight. And I just told y'all this earlier, right? I would gain like 5 or 5 pounds within a day. And I'm like, why did I gain 5 pounds in a day? The old me would be like, oh, I'm really overweight. I ate too much. It's like, no, like you just had literally you went over a gallon of water today. Water weight is real. Tomorrow, when you're spending 2 minutes in a bathroom pissing that out, you check the scale again. You'll be like, oh, I'm 5 pounds down again. So thinking about that, like when people ask me sometimes, women, I want to lose weight. It's like, you want to lose weight or do you want to be fit? Do you want to gain muscle mass or do you want to lose body fat percentage? Because body fat percentage is more important. That's what I want to lose. Another thing that I did mentally too is I didn't go on the scale all the time because of that. I went off of, I recorded myself, but I didn't heavily use it. Like I only went off of how I felt, but I also looked in the mirror because you can actually kind of see where your body fat lies a lot. Like, I know where my body fat lies, but I can see where it is. And your body fat kind of moves throughout the day. But I'm seeing where it's at now. And I'm like, okay, I have to target it in this area. But that's a lot of mental shiftness and arrangements that you have to do. So, you know, I just wanted to say that. Like, I was just waiting because this is obviously, this is Derek's episode, if y'all haven't noticed. Bing bong. But, you know, yeah.
Fuck your life, B.
Yeah, fuck your health, B. Bing bong.
So before, because there's something that Jesse said that I want to sort of expound on, but before I go to that, is there anything that you feel like, you know, obviously you say you're feeling good. Is there anything that you're still like unsure of or anything like that?
For me?
No, Derek.
I wouldn't say unsure of, but I know like certain habits have to be better, like going to the grocery store and not just relying on like what would be in the house already. Meal planning, you know, all that. In terms of like the workouts themselves, anything I'm unsure of, the only thing, if I had to pick one, would just be like continuing to learn, like, am I hyperextending my back when I do like RDLs, or is it just going to be painful, right? A little bit. Because I know today, like you saw my face, like I got up from those RDLs and I was like, bro, like, I don't know what it is, but like my lower back is just like killing me right now. And then I had to still, of course, though, go through the, what are they called? I was about to say good day.
Like the leg extensions and the good mornings.
Good mornings. I was about to say good day. I was like, that's not the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, like even with doing like quad extensions and in the good mornings, like that whole time I was just like,
you mean okay. The top of the morning at that point.
Top of the morning. Top of the morning.
That should be the name of it, honestly. All right, we're going to do some top of the morning. But I've been like, I just had to push through, though. I just had to push through it, though. Like, it wasn't to the point where I couldn't do it. I just know, like, it probably didn't help that this is also my first time working out in, like, years. So it's like, I'm probably...
Well, I mean, it's also a very different workout than what we were doing for Planet Quarantine, right? Because that was, like, you know, in the crib, and we have, you know, resistance bands, and like, for what it was, like, I'm very much a person, I'm sort of the opposite of Jesse. I enjoy being able to go to a gym and not necessarily be in the house, because for me, when I'm in the house, I like to just relax. I don't like to do a whole bunch of work. I don't like to do a whole bunch of this or that, right? Like, there's benefits to it, but like, I like to just be here. Yeah. And so, and I also, like I said, I got so used to being in a gym. I was out in DC that like I literally had to like reconfigure the way I looked at working out, having been in Planet Quarantine, because otherwise like that shit was just going to go, I was going to lose so much weight and go back down.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out ways to like still challenge myself. I wasn't adding as much weight, or I wasn't, you know, doing as much, but my whole thing was like, I want to at least maintain a level of strength so that when I go back to a gym and feel comfortable, I can sort of just, it's not, I wouldn't say I wouldn't miss a beat, but I only miss one or two beats. You know what I'm saying? I didn't miss the whole song.
And I'll say, like, honestly, of course, I'll probably be like super tired later and just like knock the hell out. But there's something about like when you finish and how you do feel like afterwards. Like, I'll be honest, like, while I was, of course, hurting, like, even now, like, we're recording this and I'm just like, oh, I feel like pretty decent after having like done a workout. So, I mean, that's also good too. Like, and the more, of course, like, as these 6 weeks go on, the more I do it, like, the more it'll be like, okay, I can wake up in the morning, right, and do this and still manage to like do a work day or, you know, whatever. But I know, like, it was a good feeling to be able to finish the workout and like, you know, work through all those things and, you know, stuff like that. So like going forward, that even gives me a little slight boost in confidence myself, you know, knowing that like I really just did like both of those things within a span of 2 days. Like, okay.
I think ultimately you might be more of a night workout person, especially considering you got like work at like 8 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It'll either be like 6 a.m. or it'll be like 8 p.m. Like,
yeah. But whichever one you choose, though, you're going to, you have to stick to that, though. You have to stick to that because you have to next your body build the cadence. I want to say, like, and when I say this, I'm also putting this to something what Josh said, too. Like, Josh put up a good point in that we have two different ways of viewing it, but also we have different body goals in mind. So it made more sense for Josh to say, you know, he's going to the gym more to build up his muscle. He's trying to build his muscle, he's trying to put on weight. I don't need that much weight. I have enough weight for all three of us. Because we can wrap around one time and then wrap around two more times. But my thing is, like, I have to
Cut it out, Jesse.
I have to cut. Yeah, I have to cut my weight. That's what I'm trying to say. So I have to cut my weight, but I also have to cut my weight, and I have to also do more proportion control. So that's what the thing for me that helps me mentally. I have not, since the world has been partially reopened, I have not done any home body workout like that. I probably will go back to incorporating them because I'm slowly going back to doing my, and this is what I mean by fitness. I'm probably going to go back to doing my Pilates again because that really helped. Pilates and my stretching. Still have my band, so I might go back to doing that, maybe doing that on an off day like Saturday, Sunday. So I'm at the gym now. And it helps out a lot. Like, I definitely see even a greater difference into being at the gym now. But I don't think, for me, if I didn't hone in on something mentally, if I didn't invest in my health and all that mentally, I don't think I would have got the most out of the gym like I do now, to the point where, going to your point, Derek, is where now I can find routines that fit for me like a cadence. So there's days where, or average, I do doubles, because that's just the way how my schedule is. I can afford to get up early, go to the gym, probably eat, you know, work during the day, and then I get off work early enough to where I can go back to the gym again. And then that helps me because I'll max out, eat again, and then I'll stop eating around like maybe like 7:30 for the night. Like, I might eat, like, I might have, you know, something healthy. Like, if I'm like really hungry, like, if that's the day where I'm like, you know, I had my protein shake and I ate and I'm just like, I need more. And I'm like, all right, dog, just eat these chocolate covered almonds. And I'll eat the almonds because dark chocolate helps, one, for your health, but also the almonds, because almonds are big on protein. So like,
this nigga worked like for Big Godiva, nigga.
Godiva. Get Big Godiva. Shout out to the
girl. If you don't understand that, go back and watch fucking your granny.
Nah, they should. We shouldn't have to remind them, bro. Like,
you, but you apparently we do. Right, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, the fucking haters. You know, man, I made little Jeff Jenkins fall out his seat last week, bro. Fuck my dick. Like I said,
you made that nigga almost spit his water out, my boy. Like,
his water out, bro.
We have the screen recording. We gonna put that on the social media page. It's fine.
Right, man. Forget this, bro. Special, my. It's not my fault coming out March 20, 2022. Anyway,
thank you. Yes, yes.
So now we finally have a day.
Like, he's leading into it. I love it. I We're going to make so much money.
Jesse, we're going to be paying off all of our students.
All of our students. Look, Jesse, your goal is going to be reached. I promise. I promise.
Probably going to be reached. Now, they're never getting that fast, but you're never getting that fast.
That's fair. Here's the thing. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no, I'm saying, yeah, but like, I just try to be that consistent. Like, so find your rhythm and your cadence. Because if you're going to do the night, keep it at night. Until you're like, okay, my skills were shifted to now I'm going to consistently go in the morning. Because I know, Josh, you've done that.
Yeah, so I used to go after work because that's just like, I used to have to drive 45 minutes. It would be a 30 to 35 minute drive in no traffic. And there was barely times when it wasn't no traffic. Like, it was no traffic when it was like the pandemic and I have to go into work. For like a couple hours or whatever. So it's usually closer to 45 minutes to an hour. There's no fucking way I was getting up at 4 a.m. or whatever and going into the gym and doing that. And so, yes, then my schedule did flip to where like I am now more of a morning person. And because I have to log in at 9 because I work from home, I can now be like, okay, I can get up, go to the gym, be out of the gym by 7:30, 8. Depending on, you know, which house I'm staying at, go home, shower, eat real quick, and then log in, do what I need to do. And if I need to take something throughout the day, if I need to just lay down, whatever, I can do that. So yeah, like he was saying, figure out what works best for you and like for real stick to that. But we were talking about mental health and not giving up and stuff and that sort of thing. And it also made me think about like, you know, there is also some level of strength of like, actually giving up on something and actually being like, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. This is not something I'm going to participate in. And so my question to you guys, and I can even go into my own thing if you want me to start, what is the last thing you actively like was like, you know what, not quit on like, oh man, I feel terrible about, you know, not sticking to this, not sticking to that, and but actually being like, I am washing my hands of this, I'm no longer doing this sort of thing, like that's. Or do you want me to go first?
That's a good question.
Time to like think.
That's a great question, actually. Look at this man working for CNN. So the way he asked me.
That's that journalism background, baby.
Shoot. That's actually a really solid. Yeah, you might
I'll go first.
You might have to start. I'll come back.
Yeah, because like, there's so many ways I can go around this. I'm like, ooh, how do I word this right?
So, in a much less dramatic sense, but it was personal to me. I gave up on being a Bulls fan, and I can tell you the exact day it happened. No, like on some like some serious shit. Like, I stopped being a Bulls fan the day that they traded Derrick Rose, and there's a very specific reason for that. So, like, you know, everyone knows I'm a big sports fan, all that kind of stuff. I went to my first White Sox game when I was 3, and fell in love with baseball. Baseball's been my number one sport ever. The Eagles are probably they're the team I love the most and have the most connection to, because my dad's from Philly. He's a big football fan. Since I was like 9, we would go to an Eagles game for my birthday every single year, right? It only was paused because of COVID. I'm pretty sure next year we're going to do it because we both got our COVID shots. We got the booster at this point, and I think we just really want to go to this point. But I didn't fall in love with basketball late. Like, I liked basketball and I would watch, but I was never like growing up. I was never a Kobe guy. I was never like a LeBron guy. Like, I knew who people were. I would have all the games. I would play all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't something that like I actively was like, this is my thing. And that sort of changed when Derrick Rose got drafted to the Bulls. And I became like, I would go to Bulls games. Like, I would watch I would go to Bulls games. I would watch everything that happened and all that kind of stuff. Like, I would actively, you know, do all that sort of thing. But like, I was not the biggest Bulls fan, like, you know, whatever, but you know, hometown team, I would enjoy watching them. Derrick Rose got drafted. Okay, cool. Became more Bulls fan. And then the year that LeBron was a free agent, 2010, you know, everyone wanted LeBron to come to the Bulls. So it was a great story. It didn't happen. I was disappointed, but I didn't like hate LeBron. But, you know, then Derrick Rose goes on this like why can't it be me? Why can't I be the MVP of the league? And then he goes out and becomes the fucking MVP of the league. You know, the whole story, then he gets hurt. And for me, I never like, I remember being like in tears hearing about Derrick Rose tearing his ACL. I will never rewatch that. I can still hear Kevin Harlan in my mind saying, holding onto his knee, holding onto his knee and down. I remember that exact moment in time, all that sort of stuff. And I remember people being really upset at Derrick Rose for not coming back before he wanted to, after he had torn his ACL. And I couldn't, like, that never registered with me. Like, people were so upset that he didn't come back for this, you know, team that was led by Nate fucking Robinson. And they, and it, like, the whole team had been playing without him. They had gotten adjusted to that. It would have been, in hindsight, adding that dude back 20 games into the season would have thrown everything off because everybody had gotten used to their certain roles and all that sort of stuff. But then he comes back, tears his meniscus, all that kind of stuff. People are killing him for being injury prone. Again, not something I understood because, like, an athlete can't control the injuries that happen to them, right? Especially in a sport like basketball, non-contact injury. Like, this is not something like he can control. It's a little bit different than football. If you run into a guy purposely, you know, get a concussion, that might be one thing. You might say he's reckless, yada, yada, yada. Comes back. They change out the coach. Jimmy Butler starts to become, you know, Jimmy Butler and all this kind of stuff. There's reported friction. You know, personally, I think what happened is those two dudes are like, they weren't best friends, but they were like cool enough with each other. They could make it work. But for me, the Derrick Rose trade felt like they were giving up on Derrick Rose and they were listening to, frankly, white Chicagoans talk about Derrick Rose, because the way that white Chicagoans talked about Derrick Rose was very different than the way black Chicagoans talked about Derrick Rose, because Derrick Rose is one of us. He was a kid from Inglewood. He's someone that went to Simeon. He should have never, you know, he shouldn't have left the state. That was on Illinois' fault because they weren't a competent enough program to keep him and Eric Gordon in state. But that's a different discussion for a different day. Maybe we'll have Devin on for that. Maybe we'll have Kobe on for that. Who knows? But it was one of those things that, like, it felt like they were giving in this organization that was not well run, that couldn't figure out how to put a competent second piece next to Derrick Rose. And then they lucked into it because Jimmy Butler trains and works out like a madman. And so you actually have two guys that can go get their own bucket, but then you fuck it up and like you have a coach in that's not Thibodeau. Okay, fine. But that, like, is way in over his head, completely honest, you know. Then you trade away Derrick Rose. You do all these different things. You say you want to get younger and more athletic. You do the opposite of that because he signed Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade in the same offseason. It's all these different things. And so for me, I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this. And to the Bulls' credit, they are a new they are in new management. They're a fun team to watch. I don't know when I'm going to be a Bulls fan again, but it's just, I'm just not there. And that's fine. That's, it might be petty to like, certainly just say like, I'm done with this because they traded away one guy, but that's just where I am right now. Maybe one day, maybe when Derek is retired, I can be like, I can come back and be a Bulls fan, but that's just the place I am right now. And I don't know if I'm ever going to be a bona fide Bulls fan again. I know it's very dramatic to say all that sort of stuff. I'm like,
no,
that's
the last thing
you quit on. But like, you know, that's just where I am.
No, it's not dramatic at all, because then you can even, people that physically look like us, you know, when you have these conversations, you know, you ask them, you know, how do you feel about Derrick Rose? It's always, he was weak. He was injury prone. Like, he's weak. He's injury prone. He gave up on the team. All these things. And it's just like, even when Rose was in his prime, you know, you thought Luol Deng was enough and you thought Joakim Noah was enough. But it's like, no, he needed a bona fide all-star with
yo,
him.
Yo, let's and, talk about that because like...
I was going to say like Deng, and Deng became an all-star, right? But there's different tiers of all-stars. So it's like he was level one, level three all-star, you know, and level three being the lowest, you know? Like,
I don't listen,
even do that.
That Bulls team, that specific Bulls team where he won the MVP, that was so much fun to watch. If we're being completely honest, they never had a shot in hell against Miami. Because you know what Miami
had?
They had two guys in Wade and LeBron. Wade wasn't in his prime. LeBron certainly was. They could go get their own bucket at any time. And then they had Chris Bosh, who, like, he's not a one, but on most teams, he's a two. And he was their three. The Bulls had a 6'3" point guard that could go get his own shot that was 30% of the office, 40% of the office on a nightly basis from just from a points per game standpoint. And then they had nobody else. Like, I liked Luol Deng. He wasn't that guy. Carlos Boozer. Carlos Boozer was a guy that, like, when Derek was on the bench, you could be like, okay, we're going to throw it to Boozer in the post where, you know, he's going to get you 16-8 at night. And that's fine. There's credence to that. Wasn't that guy. Joakim Noah was never that guy. Right? Like, you're asking Kyle Korver to be someone he's not. You're asking Ronnie Brewer to be someone he's not. You're asking CJ Watson to be someone he's not. Like, they scrapped by because they, like, they played defense hard. They wore you out. And their goal was like, hey, if we get to 95, that's game. Right? That's game. We win because we're going to hold you to 92. Whatever. Right? But, like, they couldn't. The next year they brought in Rip fucking Hamilton at 36 years old. Right? Like he was going to solve all their problems. Rip Hamilton, even with the Pistons, wasn't that guy. He was a motion sort of. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things that was so mind-bogglingly frustrating. And then you put it, it felt like, again, to me, you put all this, like, not success, you put all these failures on the back of Derek when, like, that dude was, like, going through and around people that were way bigger than him on a nightly basis, getting knocked to the floor.
For someone his size to be that explosive, that fast from end to end, right? Because you all remember that constant conversation that was had about who's the fastest point guard in the league.
Derrick Rose, at one point in his career, was the most athletic point guard we had ever seen.
In our lives.
Now people would give it to Westbrook, but a lot of people don't understand, like, during the OKC days between Westbrook and Rose, it was not close. Or even during that time, like, who was the fastest? Like, Jeff Teague or even Rose. It still wasn't that close. Like, it was really Rose. You know? And that's the thing that really, and offensively, the way how that team was set up, it was that Derek drives into the paint. And then you kick it out to either the shooters on the wing, and then they knock it down. And that still wasn't it. And then a lot of people want to say he was injury prone. But you're injury prone because of wear and tear. And a lot of people would say, like, well, you know, Derrick Rose never really developed a jumper. Derrick Rose really didn't, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, maybe that's true. Maybe he did have to use his size or his athleticism to get through. Like, maybe, yeah. But when you are the focal point in offense, you're going to have to rely on a lot of your athleticism to get through, like, to make those buckets, make those shots and all that, right? If you were to have someone else to get their own shot, or someone else that also was skilled, there's a difference. There's a different conversation. Maybe there's less wear and tear on him. You know, maybe you have another leader where, like, you can shift the minutes between the two. Like, all that, like, plays into the part. But the Bulls, and this is where I'm going to get to you on this point too, is as being money hungry as they were, it was less about them being good. I don't care what anyone says. It wasn't really about the Bulls being good. It was really about the Bulls being good enough to attract a bigger crowd. And they pushed Derrick Rose. It's like, you know, as I remember one time I was listening to, like, the promo, and I think it was Neil Funk had said this. He was like, and coming up next, the next thing, the next biggest thing since Michael Jordan, Derrick Rose. Like, that's how they were pushing this. It was more like Derrick Rose, the attraction forefront, and in the back front, it was the Bulls team being good. It was just on top of them being good. If they really were serious about this, dog, I would have gotten some. They had the thing about that Bulls team was people were like, oh, they have a great bench. Like, they have a strong bench. It's just like, yeah, that's true. But they have pieces. Like, what's another?
The Bulls at one point were in discussion for trading for Dwight Howard. And I remember this. And it was like, you know, Joakim Noah, and it was a bunch of, I don't remember who exactly it was. And, like, in hindsight, dog, they should have called Orlando and be like, what does it take besides Derrick Rose to get Dwight Howard here? Because as much as we want to kill Dwight Howard for everything that he's not, Dude, that dude was like in 2010. Think about 2010 Dwight Howard and Derrick Rose together on a pick and roll. That's insane. Like,
that's an insane combination. That's insane. Yeah.
It's an insane combination. It is for Thibodeau, that is his dream because now he has one of like the best, you know, shot blocking, if not, you know, the best defensive center of his era. Like, again, love Joe King. He's very, very versatile. Doesn't hold a candle to Dwight Howard. Doesn't.
To Dwight.
And on top of that, if you want to look at, okay, matchup wise, Miami didn't really have an answer for Derrick Rose. It's just that when it came to playoffs, they were like, all right, well, no one else is going to get, so we can afford to put LeBron on him. But they wouldn't have a single answer for Dwight Howard because they didn't have the size for that. Like,
even though we're talking about that 2000, because it starts the bubble in 2007, but people really start noticing about it. That 08 to 2010, Dwight Howard was so damn good that a lot of people were starting to consider him the MVP. A lot of people were starting to consider him a top three, top five player. And this nigga was really big on block shots and rebounds. Do you know how dominant he was in doing that? Like, really think about that. Like, if they would have traded, that is probably one of the most athletic. No, that's the most athletic pick and roll that you've seen. Like, you know how, like, LeBron and Wade, and I understand, like, Wade was starting to get out of his prime. He was, it's like this. It's like Wade is here, right? Like, in what, 06, 07. Mm-hmm. He's like here. The mountain's still high.
Right.
So like right. You get like that. You get to me that great fast break between LeBron and like LeBron and Wade, and it's like Jesus. But I don't know, man. If you would have got Rose and Dwight, it's just like, hey, fuck Stockton Malone. It's fuck Karl Malone. But it's like, it's fuck Karl Malone anyways. But it would have been like, hey, bro, fuck that pick and roll. You ever seen this D Rose and D White? D. Howard, come on, bro.
Even going back to like an earlier point that one of y'all brought up, the whole like he doesn't want to be with the team or he doesn't care. I need y'all to go back and watch that documentary. I don't know who the producer was in terms of like the company or who made that documentary, but I remember there being a documentary about Derrick Rose and like his journey throughout the Bulls to when he even got traded and all that. Derrick Rose was literally crying when he got told that he was going to have to leave the Bulls due to a trade. Like, he was in tears. I don't think anybody that cries about that doesn't care about the team that they're on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that whole narrative itself doesn't even make sense to me. Like,
the whole narrative about him being selfish and not wanting to come back and being scared, it is like, yo, this dude tore his... That's probably the first time he was really, really hurt in his life, right? Like, athletes always play through stuff. Like, it's not comparable, right? And so like you're telling a dude for the first time in his life, his knee went one way and he kept going the other way. And he's like, and you're like, okay, you have to go back to playing basketball. And by the way, your team is in the playoffs, so there is pressure. Like, you can't tell someone how mentally, like, if you, there's a great
adage about it. Huh?
As young as he was, but also there's great adage about sports. If you're thinking while you're playing, that's when you're going to get fucked up, right? And so I'm guaranteed the entire time he's going through this workout, he's thinking about his knee or whatever. He's doing this. It's like, hey, something don't feel right. Even if they're saying like, yeah, medically, you're 100% clear. Cool. But like, if I'd rather him not be out there if he's thinking about it the entire time. Like, that's just, it's just not worth it. So anyways, we don't have to spend...
There's a lot of case studies that you can see relationships between sports and critical race theory, but especially within the case of Chicago, because how Chicago is so racially ethically segregated, like literally by our racist segregation, like literally the way how the United Center is, if you were to have track, you know, where residents are based on their tickets and their and by address, you can see how people are coming from different like. Different parts of the city. I honestly think? I was about to say Derrick Rose was the most Chicagoist nigga on that team. But now it's like Derrick Rose was the most Black Chicagoan on that team. Because the way in which how people responded to them, it was based off of race, ethnicity, and income. It really was. That was a very divisive like group. You really divisive reaction. You really saw it. I think, you know, I guess it's like looking back on it now, you know, he came back home, people gave him a standing ovation, shit. You know, all this, but it said a lot. It said a lot about sports in general, but it particularly said a lot about Chicago, homebred Chicago Hoopers coming back home. I mean, and playing for this home team. It really said a lot. Like, it really did. You know, trying to transition out of it, I think the biggest thing that I gave up was, because I was thinking about this, it actually happened yesterday. I gave up trying to be Superman in my work. I gave up trying to be Kobe. Kobe, going back to basketball and going back to my biggest inspiration, all my biggest inspiration is Kobe, man. Like, I realized I'm not really a Lakers fan. I'm really a Kobe fan. But Kobe busts his ass off everything, right? No matter what he did. And I always aspire to be like that. And to some degree, too, I work hard, you know, and I try to model that a lot like from Kobe. But then, you know, as I got older, I started realizing, you know, Kobe had to make some sacrifices, you know, for his friends and family. And sometimes, you know, even if it was for the greater good, you know, even if it was for the greater good of him furthering success, like those relationships were torn because, you know, the relationships, you know, are not there. And I noticed that, you know, during my first year graduate school, like being home, like I was really working hard that I could, you know, on my studies, but trying to make time for friends and family. And, you know, even when I'm trying to, you know, explain to people and people even see that I'm working and bust my ass off, it still doesn't translate to them because, quite frankly, I'm not giving them the time to see. And I remember thinking, like, you know, because I used to be into dichotomy. So on one side, I would be like, man, forget it. I'm going to be like Kobe, cut it out, tunnel vision, and just go through. But you're running relationships with people when you do that. The other side I was going to say was, well, maybe, you know, I can't be like that because that makes me, and a lot of people do this. Like, I guess it's considered type A people. And type A people, you respect, like, the work that they do. But type A people are also not the most great at social skills because it's just like all you got to talk work with them. And maybe you don't want to talk work. Maybe you need, you know, maybe you just want to mostly, type A people lack emotional intelligence. Put it to you like that. I like certain types of social skills. And I'm like, I don't want to go down that road. And then it was like, well, I'm not going to be always silly and goofy because I have to have work too. And so then I was like, well, you know, maybe I can like explain to people the work that I do. And maybe that will give me a better reaction. But in some cases, it didn't. You know, people are just like, I understand that you work, but, and it's just like, if you understand I work, why is there a but? Why can't it just be like, I understand, let's try to work something out on the difference? And that always pissed me off. And it was just like, you know, I'm running myself thin, whether I'm trying to exert myself, exhaust myself with so much work on one side, or I'm trying to exhaust myself so much as people on one other side. And then that's why I realized I couldn't be Kobe on one side in that I can't work myself to death because I just have to, you know, I have to understand that there's other people in my life, you know. Not to say Kobe didn't do that. Not to say Kobe did not, you know.
But there is something, I don't mean to, like, cut you off or anything.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this before. And everyone looks at like Mike and Kobe, oh, they're the hardest workers. They're this and that. Those dudes were also miserable for a lot of their lives. Like Kobe, yeah, like was were. Very openly miserable until the last couple years in his life. When he starts enjoying it,
right.
And Mike, even to this day, like we all watched, you know, The Last Dance. You can argue Mike is still like he's not a happy person. Just he's
happy with he sees the success, but it doesn't mean
he's happy with the success. But where? What else? Right. And so we all talk about. we always talk about, you know, the difference between Mike and Kobe and LeBron and all that kind of stuff. And LeBron works plenty hard, but he also looks like he's fulfilled in other stuff in his life, because he's like, hey, this is a lot bigger than, you know what I'm saying? And this is us projecting from the outside, and we don't know that man's personal
life. We don't know
any of these guys' personal lives for real, for real. But from what the things that we have seen, and even the way that Kobe has talked about, you know, before his untimely death, the way that he talked about his other projects giving him fulfillment and being there for his daughters and all that kind of stuff, like, there is a difference between, like, I work hard and make sure I take care of the things that I do, and, like, I only think about work, and I'm only focused on this, and therefore the rest of my stuff suffers.
And I think that's what pretty much got me to there. So I was like, I'm not going to be more like Kobe. I guess I'm going to be more like LeBron, in that I'm going to be passionate about the work that I do. And I'm always going to be, because it's serving me a greater purpose of what my goals are. So I'm going to make time for my, you know, for my friends and family. But I'm going to make time for my friends and family, you know, when I have the energy to do that. I'm a person that's big on, and this is kind of a little bit like Kobe, you know, so I guess I'm not fully all the way like Kobe. Hope it makes sense, because I'm going down a bumpy road, but this is also showing you the way how I had to think about this, and that I want to give anything I have 100% of what I want to do, right? But I have to learn that it's not just in the work I do, I can't be pinned down to my work. It's also more into, you work hard at your project, work hard at resting, you know, work hard at resting and enjoying time with your friends and family. But if you're going to have fun with your friends and family, make sure you put yourself first. So work hard at putting yourself first, you know, in a very healthy manner. So with that being said, I don't work after 8 o'clock. I think I was telling you that, Josh. I was like, bro, I'm not working after 8 o'clock. Whatever that's not done, fuck that. We're just going to do it in the morning. You know, thinking like that. Or, hey, you know, you want to hang out this weekend? I can't really hang out this weekend because I have to work on this project, but I'll do it later. I guess a lot of people that's listening to us, it's time management. Yeah, it's time management, but it's also, it's not just time management. There's a mental shift that comes to that, which is basically what I was saying earlier when I was saying about my workouts. There's a mental shift that comes with that. You can't also just say, you have to say what you mean and mean what you say when you do that. Because people used to katana pull my card or my bluff when I was like, hey, you know, I'm busy. I can't really work with that. And then you get the initial reaction. And I'm like, okay, maybe I can change it. It's like, nah, like I'm working on this part. And, you know, today, you know, I'm seen as an asshole a lot of times. I'm seen as selfish a lot of times. I'm seen as someone that's very inconsiderate a lot of times, because someone that doesn't put anyone else first, you know, all this shit. I get that all the time. But honestly, it's fucked them, because like, I haven't felt this more mentally stable in my life than I've ever been. Like, I've always been a person where I want to be more balanced in a lot of things. And as far as like having my rest, having my health, having my work and my passion, everything is really blended in and at a nice rate and speed and pace for me. And it's just like, if you're going to come in my circle, you got to understand, like, these are the things that set for me. And there are some things I'll be willing to compromise on and some things I'm not. But things I'm not going to compromise on is deteriorating myself, or feeling like I have to deteriorate and push myself down just for your small endorphin release of getting exactly what you want. Yeah, I just can't do that.
So hey, man, sometimes you got to be the asshole.
I guess I'll be a villain. I guess I'll be a villain in your story. But I think that's what I did. So there's a couple of things I had gave up. I gave up working excessively too hard. I gave up being a people pleaser. Those are the two things I really gave up.
Yeah, that's real. And honestly, there are a couple of thoughts that come to my mind when you brought up that question. And they're both, I guess, really kind of related to what Jesse was just saying. The first thing that I, you know, definitely have, like, in certain instances, like, given up. But this is also like one of those things that is constantly like a work in progress. It's being so hyper focused on certain things. So, you know, when you're working and stuff, and you want to, you know, be good at your job and everything, you can have this mindset of like, I have to be doing this, you know, going the extra mile, you know, yada, 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 and burning yourself out, essentially. And I actually recently had a conversation with one of my coworkers who's not necessarily above me, but she definitely has like way more experience with this field. So she was telling me like, yeah, I know you're a first year, you know, counselor and all that, but you know, at a certain point, like you can't do every visit that you want to do, or you can't like, you know, say yes to every event, every inquiry, you know, whatever that looks like. And I tend to get that way when I feel like something has to be, you know, done a certain way. I'm always in the mindset of like, okay, I have to do this the best way. You know, I can't focus on anything else right now. Like I have to get this work done, or, you know, I'm always so focused on like things, I guess, outside of what would be like my personal time, you know, and things like that. And that can have a really, really like big effect on mental health. Right. So kind of tying it to like my second piece, really trying to be better in that space and really, you know, affirming myself constantly, knowing that I am worth, you know, what I'm doing and that I'm not incompetent at that work or, you know, whatever that looks like. But really just making sure that like I'm treating myself well and not being so hyper-focused on one thing that's then causing me to feel burnout and then have all these other things be affected, like personal relationships, mental health, you know, things like that. Because I know when I get caught up in something, it does tend to go that way where I'm so, so hyper-focused. And I've gotten better about it like than I have been in the past, especially like with this new job, trying to adjust some things, but definitely, you know, something that is also a work in progress too.
I did not expect this episode to go in this direction, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. I love how like Derek just dipped.
No, I ain't dip. Look, I ain't want my computer to die as he doing the outro. It's like, hey everybody, that's been Jesse Pink. Derek's not here anymore, so I guess it's like, I didn't want that to happen. So
Jesse's
no longer with us.
I just plugged
Derek's no longer with us.
But yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, Jesse, go ahead, take us home, bro.
All right, man. Well, you know, this has been another great episode of the greatest podcast to usher into 2020. This is a podcast for myself, my illustrious friends, Dr. Taffin and Derek Small. Thank you all for tuning in for another great episode. Make sure you call us a call to action. Follow us all on social media. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on YouTube. MySpace coming soon. Facebook as well. MySpace is not coming soon, y'all. Shout out to King Boy and Jay Alizier for the beautiful outro. We love y'all, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.